What's going on?
Well, we're starting the Dawn and Wind show early today.
Why?
Well, I just thought it might be a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Well, why not? I've been trying to reach Len Horowitz, and I tried him on both numbers and haven't been able to reach him, which is unusual because usually he's quite prompt. And so today something must have went wrong. So I figured maybe I would start this show a bit early. What do you think? You think we ought to do that?
Well, do you think he was trying to reach Len Horowitz?
Well, he had a number of call-ins earlier that people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're calling, and then I had to say, I apologize, I can't reach Dr. Horowitz, so try back later.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, since our show, we can't take call-ins because I'm hooked into the back end or the front end. So
why can't we take call-ins?
Well, you remember how I hook up the system? Impossible to take call-ins when I'm in the system?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Unless I'm coming through the other way. This will all change in February.
Mm-hmm.
With the new studios that we have when we move the office location to California. Mm-hmm. But my question is, what do you think? You think we ought to start the show now?
Well, I don't think we should show now, but we could go on the air now.
You think we ought to go on the air right now?
Well, I mean, if you want to capture the listeners and talk to them, we'll do something that's not normal, and then we'll start till 6.
You mean like we're normal?
Yeah, but I mean, we won't start the show until 6.
Well, I have a
because we have people that are regular listeners.
I agree. I think we could just run this thing for 2 hours. But what would you say if I told you people are listening to you now?
I start cursing.
Well, you're on the air.
You are, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, well, folks, we're not starting the Dawn and Wind show. This is not the Dawn and Wind show. This is the, what is it, Don?
You know, I don't know what this is.
This is the Len Horowitz's Absence Show.
The Len Horowitz's Absence Show.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, that's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
So, we can't get calls in, huh?
We can't get calls in.
Okay.
I'm playing with the volume here just to see if I can get you up again. Okay, say your ABCs, but correctly this time.
You're a jerk. Putting me in. You're not. We're not on the air.
Yeah, we are.
We are?
Yeah. Yeah, people, if he doesn't believe we're on the air, please email win@bloginservice.com and say, you know what, Win? He did you.
Well, I'm not on the internet, so there.
Yeah, we had a, you know, it was.
Okay, Don, I'll tell you what.
All right.
Since this is not the Don and Wind show, and we're just, like, waiting for the Don and Wind show, for those of you that are listening, this is the Len Horowitz's Missing show. And, Why don't you call your mother up? Unless we can't put her on the air. Take yourself off. I'll talk to your mother for a while. Go ahead. I'll call her. What's her number? I got conference calling here.
You're kidding, right?
No.
You'd want to put my mother on the air?
Yeah.
You're serious.
She won't curse, will she? No.
Oh, no, she won't curse.
Don's mother, if you like Don, you got to figure that his mother's got to be okay. All right? I mean, his mother is...
Well, I'll tell you what. What we'll do is we'll bring her on the air.
She's a loyal listener to the Don and Wind show. And for a while, she used to, you know, send Don emails and say Wind was taking up too much time. Oh, there's my nephew. Should we put my nephew on the air?
Let's put him on the air.
Let me see if I can get him. He's calling me.
I know it's a bit unusual.
Don?
But, yeah.
Dan?
Don.
Where'd he go?
After all this time, you still don't know my name. Yeah, folks, this is a... unusual day, you know, I just...
All right, Don, just a second. I'll be right back.
All right. I just got back from a trip from California, and it was a wonderful trip. I met a lot of wonderful people. I got to meet Jean-Claude Covan of goingdeeper.org, and a wonderful author, and just a fantastic, fantastic individual. And I got to meet Carla Ruckert of the Law of One Material.
Don?
Yeah.
Dan?
Either or. I sometimes even go by Doug.
Where is Dan?
Where is Dan? You know, sometimes, folks, you get to do a little traveling and meet some of the people that you really admire, and that was kind of what this trip did for me. And I got to meet Carla Ruckert, Jim McCarty of the Law of One. If you go to llresearch.org, you'll know more about the Law of One and the raw material.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
I can't conference anybody unless I disconnect you and call you back.
Oh.
So you entertain everybody for a minute. I'm
okay.
Going to call you right back, okay?
All right. Well, folks, there we went. But I also got to meet Jean's assistant, Wendy, and a beautiful girl. I got to meet Sharon and Winfrey. Winfrey, of course, we never met before. We've been doing our own show every Saturday at 8 to 9 p.m., and I got to meet him for the first time. And, folks, you would like to meet him. He's an experience because he really walks his talk. And, okay, well, he's calling in, so we'll bring him back on the line here. Are you there?
Yeah, no. I'm going to get my nephew. When he gets on, don't let him know he's on the radio.
Okay.
Or else he'll get self-conscious, okay?
Okay, we can do that.
This is the guy that's been checking into my conference calls for 2 months and never even says hello, okay? So don't go away.
All right.
Okay. Done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody there? Hello? Hello, hello. You know, folks, you know what Octopus's favorite gospel song is? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody raising their hand. Okay.
Don, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put your hand in the hand in the hand.
Dan?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? Not too much. How's everything? Fine.
How are you doing?
I'm good, Don. How are you?
I'm excellent, but
I've been trying to get him to call you, Don, so that He could start volunteering for blogging, okay?
Well, it's about time. So
I've heard quite a few of the shows.
Oh, you have?
And I've talked to him in about it.
Yeah, you ever thought about being on one of the shows?
I've actually thought of some different things, different ways to go, and I've mentioned a few to Win as well.
Yeah,
I'm sure at some point I will give you guys the honor of my presence.
Well, that would be good.
What would you talk about, Dan?
What I talk about every day.
Like what? Tell me. Come on, let's hear. What would you talk about if you were on the show?
People's challenges on this universe, within their professional and personal issues that they encounter each and every day, and how a lot of people they don't understand it's all about everything else except themselves. So, and understanding the process and how to develop a personal relationship with the universe.
You know, that sounds like a heck of a good topic, actually.
Well, how do you do that for yourself?
What?
How do you do that for yourself? How do you develop a person?
I think a big part of it is being there for other individuals, and I think I do that on a daily basis. And I think every day I'm learning more and more because I don't know if Wynn told you, Don, but I'm in the corporate world.
Corporate world, okay. What do you do?
I'm actually in advertising.
Advertising.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And, you know, so it's very interesting because being a nephew of Wynn, you know, obviously that's not a route that that Wynn would recommend.
Of course, I taught Danny everything he knew. No,
he did. You know, and it's funny because I'm working.
Well, Danny, then I got to tell you, you must be quite limited in life.
No, I give you a lot of credit, Don, for dealing with him. But it's funny because I got this job for this big corporation, and when I went on the initial meeting with one of the vice presidents, I had never done this. I share certain things with certain people, and I'm sitting there and we're talking and everything. And this is before I had a job or anything. And I explained to him that I've been, that I started selling sunglasses when I was 12 years old.
Sunglasses.
You know, and that's something you don't normally, you know, in the corporate environment sit there and say, hey, look, you know, I started selling sunglasses at 12 years old.
Were you good at it?
You'd have to ask Wynn.
I'll tell you what happened, Don. I was in Florida. And I was teaching Danny's father, who's my brother-in-law, how to sell sunglasses. And we did some festival there, and it was a little town that was all senior citizens. So Danny would stand in front of the booth and yell out, "Senior citizen discount, get them here."
Get them here.
And that's how we learned advertising.
I did it for many years. I mean, I retired right before I went to college.
So if you were to sell a sunglass, let's say you were on a radio program, for instance, and you had an audience of people, and you were going to sell them a pair of sunglasses, how would you go? Throw me a pitch. How would you do that?
No, it's kind of interesting because I think you know everybody that sells something, and I've been doing sales for so many years, that, you know, you have to understand each individual. And the problem is you only get a moment or two to really know, their expectations.
Well, let's say you didn't know me and you're going to sell me a pair right now. Let's say
I'd probably start off with the, which I did when I was selling sunglasses, is the scientific end of it. You know, the reason, you know, the health reasons for sunglasses. And explain to them, you know, the function of a pair of sunglasses. Because a lot of people don't even understand the function of a pair of sunglasses. And that's actually how...
You know, I got to promise you, if someone doesn't understand the function of a pair of sunglasses, then...
I sold sunglasses in Kentucky, Don.
You did?
People said to me, what are these for? You know, so... You know, and that's always been my thing is, you know, when I was 12 years old, you know, you're sitting there and you're explaining to somebody that's, you know, 40 years old, you know, about actually what the lens does and how a pair of sunglasses works. And they sit there and they're like, wow, you know. and I think that's probably
Wynn and I were thinking about giving you your own radio show.
Wow.
Hey, Don.
What's that?
Now, Danny is really well known for something else, too.
Hold on. Bear with me. We got a phone call here. It's probably BBS Radio.
Oh, I was trying to get on the inside hour.
Ah, the inside hour, actually. Well, it's not going right now, but we got a great program right now going. It's some unknown individual who is being actually called up out of the blue, and he doesn't know he's on the radio. He might even be listening to me now. But try back next week. We'll have Len Horowitz back.
Okay, you know what? Can I ask you a question? Because I tried going on the Internet, and I don't understand how you can get it on the Internet.
You don't understand that? You just click.
What do you have to do to listen?
You just have to click one of those links that says, please click here to listen. Click one of the player links.
Oh.
You ever thought about being on the radio?
You didn't have the Inside Hour on today?
No, the Inside Hour was not on today. But have you ever thought about being on the radio?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, no, what for?
Well, you're on the radio right now.
I am?
Nice.
Well, I don't really have anything to be on the radio about.
Hey, Don?
Well,
Don?
Yes.
Ask her if she's single.
Are you single?
Yeah, I am.
Well,
and ask her what state she's in.
What state are you in?
Ohio.
Ohio. Anything you want to tell the audience that they might want to know about you?
Well, who's in the audience?
Listening
to the radio.
You're listening to the radio now?
No, you mean anybody who's listening to the station?
Yes.
What do I want to tell them?
Sure. What would you like to tell the audience?
I don't really know.
Okay,
you're in the same boat I am. Half the time I don't know what to tell them.
Ask her if she'd like to get married.
Anyways, thank you for calling. We'll try again next
week.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
I was trying to hook you up, Dan.
That was our first.
That's what I needed, you know?
That was our first mystery guest. Or second.
If she was in New York, we would have had a really good thing going.
Well, that's right.
Yeah,
I guess.
I would like to get to know her a little bit better before that, though.
No, Dan, Dan, really, we were kidding. We don't got her on. I mean, you really think we would put her on the air? Are you on the air like this?
I don't know. I would. You know what? I wouldn't put anything past my uncle.
I don't think your uncle would do that to you, would he?
Oh, I definitely think he would. I wouldn't, you know, and I would respect him for that, honestly.
Well, you know, Dan checks into my conference calls and never identifies himself. So, I hear a beep. I got really confused because I hear a beep and I say, "Could you tell me your name and the city you're in?" And there's just dead silence. So now every time somebody gets on the conference call and they don't identify themselves, I think it's him. Hey, Dan?
Yeah?
How come you never identify yourself?
Because it's actually not my style to identify myself. I lay low when I can.
You mean you like to be low key, right?
I like to be low key. Yeah, I don't like to be in the limelight, even though I'm an actor.
I see. You're the guy that likes to walk in the back of the room, sit by the door, so you can make a quick exit.
You know, I wait for them to say action, and then once they say cut, I'm out of there.
I see. Yeah. Hey, Don. Dan has another point.
I'm listening to you through some headphones, man. Is your volume turned all the way up?
Mine?
Yeah.
You mean wind volume?
Yes.
I'm on a speakerphone. Am I too loud?
Yeah.
Let me see. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. Dan was famous in Florida for at least a year.
2 years.
2 years. Tell Don why you were famous, Dan.
Well, about three years ago, I woke up one morning and I decided I was going to become an actor. And so I started auditioning for different parts. And the next thing you know, I ended up getting this commercial.
Hold on. Okay, keep that thought. We got somebody calling in. Bear with me. BBS Radio.
Oh, yeah. I was calling to see if Horowitz. We found Horowitz.
If we found Len Horowitz?
Yeah.
We didn't find Len Horowitz, but what would you ask him if you could speak to him right now?
What would I ask him?
Yeah. What would you ask him?
I don't know.
You don't know what you'd ask him, but you would want to call in?
Yeah, I thought you listened in.
Oh, you thought this was a listen. I gotcha. Nope. This is a number that you call into our radio programs.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I thought it was the inside hour that you listened to.
No, this is the Len Horowitz is Missing show.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that mystery guest didn't have a lot to say.
Yeah, obviously not.
So, go ahead. So
I decided to be an actor. I tell people I must have hit my head on the floor when I rolled out of bed that morning. And I ended up doing a commercial, which I really didn't even really know exactly what my part was being. And next thing you know, I end up becoming the commercial itself. And I kind of, even the product, you remembered me, but not the product. And so the next thing you know, this commercial started running.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me get the timeline here.
Sure.
You hit your head.
Yeah, right. I hit my head.
And you were doing a commercial, and next thing you know, you are the commercial.
Next thing I am the commercial.
You are the commercial, right?
And it ran for 2 years, and it was an unbelievable experience because I think at first when I first decided.
I got to tell you right now, it sounds bloody incredible.
Yeah, I was, you know, it was unbelievable because, you know, one thing is being an actor and one thing is going on auditions and pursuing that career. The other thing is actually having to be in the limelight on a small scale. I mean, this is just probably, you know, a couple million people a day probably saw me. You know, this commercial played during Oprah, during the news, and it became kind of in a way, I mean, it was great and everything, but it kind of became a strange reality because you walk out the door and everybody knows you, but you don't know them. So.
What commercial was it? You weren't doing cereal, were you?
No, it was for a telephone company.
A telephone company.
Yeah, a telephone company.
Are they still in business?
Yes, they're still in business, and they actually, I mean, they did unbelievable. I mean, the commercial made the company what it is, and
how much did they pay you?
How much did they pay me? I think because I was non-union. Remember, this was my first gig. I think it was $500.
And they've made millions, right?
And I said to myself, $500. Wow, I'm making money being an actor. That's amazing. And I think they ended up making about $126 million. And
and you got $500.
I got $500.
Well, let me tell you, you should go back to selling sunglasses because that just wasn't your business.
Well, but actually, you know,
I did. You know, to me, that just I would have to say right there at this moment that definitely is not your business.
but the difference is, it ended up, you know, it was funny at that point. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it actually.
Well, how could you? Because you got to remember, once you hit your head, you became the commercial.
Exactly.
And after that, you know, I mean, who telling what's going to happen?
It's true. And it became a journey. And I really, you know, I kept asking myself every day, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I did this for about 3 years, I asked myself. And then all of a sudden, I got a call to come out to L.A. to work on a movie. And at that point, I figured that's when, you know, this is what it's going to be. I mean, I'm an actor now, officially. And at this point, I had got my union card, so I was a union member and everything. So this was official. And but it wouldn't be until months later that I would find out why I became an actor. And, you know, it's funny because I think the best things happen by accident. And that's exactly what happened.
So you're now into acting?
Well, I'll always be an actor. I think once you're an actor, you're always an actor.
Well, you mean once you've been paid?
Once you've been paid as an actor, you're an actor.
you're a professional, right?
Yeah. And but it was amazing because, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but a few months after about 3 years in the business, I had been out to L.A., I really, you know, started to think about things, and I ended up coming out to New York, and I was pursuing acting in New York, and next thing you know, February or March of 04, I think of 04, I realized that all that work that I had done, it meant nothing. It had nothing to do with that. Yeah, I know, it's like, I mean, and there was a reason why I was in the business, but it all came together about 3 years later. And that's when I found out the real reason I had been there. And it actually had been, I spent 3 years doing acting so I could be part of somebody's life that I had never known before that.
So you now got a wife, a girlfriend?
No, it was just a friend. A friend.
So
it was nothing like, you know, any kind of relationship.
No romance.
Platonic friendship. And
now, listen, Danny's closest woman friend right now is our Aunt Hattie, right?
Right.
Aunt Hattie?
Yeah, she's, how old is she, Dan?
Well, but she likes to be called Harriet, so.
Harriet.
Yeah.
Okay, how old is she?
91.
91. This lady lives by herself in a condo, I guess. It's a condo, right?
Yeah.
In New Jersey. Cooks her own meals, drives to the store. 91 years old.
Oh, bless her heart.
We should have her on the show explaining longevity because she's done something right. And, she, you know, Danny lives in New York and goes down to New Jersey often on the weekend, spends the weekend with her. And
wow, Danny. Incredible.
Yeah, I teach her about life now, how it is.
Right.
Experience, because remember, no matter what, she's experiencing all these new things.
Yeah.
But a lot of these things, you know, she doesn't understand. And it's funny because today I asked her a good question. I was had a pack of gum, and on the pack of the gum, it said on it the question, "Why don't aliens ever have normal people?" and she totally got it. She totally understood it. You know, and she just kept asking, "Well, what's the answer?" And I said, "I don't know."
My question is, what kind of gum was it?
Yeah, right.
No, I'll tell you, I called my aunt, I call her Aunt Hattie, because that's what I knew her as a kid. So I called her recently, since Danny's been visiting her. I, you know, for a long time, I didn't talk to my relatives, because I had no idea what to say to her. And plus, they're always going to ask me, what are you doing? And if I didn't have something that I felt, I could tell them that they held in some kind of esteem, that I feel kind of unworthy, so I didn't want to call him. And so I called my Aunt Hattie, and she says, "Well, what are you doing?" And so I tell her, "Well, you know the God in the Old Testament? And she says, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm talking to him." And we're having conversations. And she says, "Oh, yeah. And then we go on further.
You didn't hit your head too, did you?
I hit my head too, yeah.
It runs in the family, Don.
So now when I call her, we have conversations about that, and she enjoys it. And then
she asks a lot of questions, and for somebody at that age to ask the questions that she asks, you know, questions like, you know, those little guys that come down and they fly around in that thing, you know. And, you know, and you ask her, do they have hair? And she's like, "Well, I don't think so, but they must, you know." So she's really up on everything, and she's, you know, which is amazing. And
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
We should make an announcement, okay?
Okay. Dan does know it by now. He's on the radio, right?
I don't think he knows.
No?
Yeah, but
you think he's still in the dark?
This announcement.
Doesn't believe it anyways.
the people that have tuned in, you are listening to the Len Horowitz Missing Hour. And Len was supposed to be doing this hour, and the Don and Win show starts at 6 o'clock California time.
Right, 8 p.m.
So we usually have really interesting guests, people. You know, the theme of our show has to do with this dimensional shift that's happening, the end of a 75,000-year cycle, what the messages are coming through from the other side to try and explain this to us. I'm the author of the book, the principal author, with David Wilcock, called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where the book makes a case for David Wilcock being Edgar Cayce returned, and the major group soul, oversoul for our planet is speaking through them, and we talk about the kinds of things they're saying. And my book is influencing a lot of people. They're studying it in churches.
Oh, heck, that's a fabulous book. I mean, if people get into it, it's not just the part about Edgar, David Wilcox being Edgar. It's the whole book.
Right.
I mean, it leads from one into the next and then into the scientific. And I mean, it's just it's one book for anybody, whether they're a beginner or they're advanced into spirituality, just to pick up and read, because it's what you bargained for.
So for those of you who are listening, Don called me up about 5:15, right? and said, Wynn, how would you like to go on early tonight? And I said, I don't want to go on early. We have a lot of regular listeners. So he says, well, you know, but we should, let's go on. I'm Len Horowitz, didn't show up tonight. And then he tells me we're on. So I said, well, Don, this is not the Don and Wynn show. This is going to be the Len Horowitz is missing show. And so I don't want to do our regular show. So my nephew called Danny in the middle of while we're debating what we're going to do. And so we brought Danny on to the show.
Better that than my mother.
No, well, I was going to do Don's mother.
No,
I mean, Don, we could do this anytime. If you have an extra hour, we'll call somebody up and, you know, just chat with them.
Well, that's right. That's right. I love
you
my
know,
mother. She'd be great.
Danny,
but
Danny is kind of like one of Howard. This is like Howard Stern's Stooges. Remember the stutter guy? What's his name? I shouldn't ever admit that I.
Well, you're stuttering.
I ever watched Howard Stern.
Can you believe that guy got that contract on Sirius Radio? That's just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about a guy who's.
You know, the thing about it is, you would never think a radio station that called themselves Sirius would have Howard Stern's on.
Well, yeah.
That's really the amazing thing.
And it's amazing because here's a guy who sells such, I guess, pornographic audio, and that's what I call it, pornographic audio, to the listener. And I don't get it. But, I mean, it's a fun guy, but it's so extreme. It's so, anyways, I'll leave my opinions alone.
Well, he probably speaks to the masses, Don.
The masses.
The masses.
The masses.
The masses.
he speaks to the people that are trying to understand life. And
you really think those are the people he speaks to?
Yeah, they're trying to understand life, and exactly, they're trying to figure out.
If he's speaking to the people who are trying to understand life. We got more problems here than we could possibly imagine.
well, it becomes an escape for people, and that's why they like that. And honestly, I don't listen to it, but I know many people that do.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's a funny guy. He's got a lot of humor. And, I mean, some of his shows are downright funny. I've seen a couple of them. I mean, I wouldn't make it.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Oh boy. Okay.
Would you take your shirt off for our listening audience?
Of course I would.
Okay, we're gonna spin the wheel.
Right.
Now take your left sock off, okay?
I already have it off.
Oh, good.
Can we do the right? But yeah. So no, but it is interesting. But everybody's living in the city. It's very interesting because you meet so many different kinds of people in such a small place put together in an environment that accepts pretty much anything. And for me,
what did you do in New York when they had that big strike?
Oh yeah, that was a good question.
I walked, and so which wasn't a bad thing because it's something that I always like to do, but I didn't do.
How far do you live from your office?
About 43 blocks.
So you walked 43 blocks, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good walk.
And then 43 blocks back home, too. So, and then wherever else you go. But, yeah, it was quite interesting because the energy that you were feeling, like the first day and then, you know, compared to the second day, it was very interesting. And, like, the first day I was walking, I was like, you know, I could walk as fast as I wanted. But the second day, it was like people were bumping into me. You know? And so you start to, like, lose your boundaries. so many people anyway are with you all the time, and here you have so many more people, and everybody, that second day a lot of people were angry and stuff like that. And what was interesting was after the strike ended, I was on the bus, and I hear this woman yell out to the bus driver, look, you know, you got what you wanted, drive faster, you know. and I said to myself, wait a second here, you know. That's what New York based on crossing boundaries and taking risks. So it plays by a different set of rules. And I've lived here for a couple of years now, and I never thought I would ever come to New York and live in New York.
Same. I hear it's changed significantly in the last 5 years. Well, of course, with the terrorist problem and 9/11 or things like that. But, I mean, the people have changed. What do you feel?
No, I feel that people have changed, and I've met a lot of people in my time because, obviously, my personality allows me to talk to people of all kinds, and so, I've had the experience to build relationships with people that have been through 9/11 and stuff like that.
So, do you have any psychic abilities or tendencies?
No, I don't believe I have psychic abilities, but I believe that my life experiences that I've had have given me the opportunity to understand people's expectations. And when you understand people's expectations, they allow you to come in. And that changes everything. You know, you hear things that normally you wouldn't hear. But and a lot of it I attribute, and I don't like to give him too much credit, but to my uncle. Because, at 12 years old, I was selling sunglasses, but at the same time, he still had enough respect for me to talk about life and to talk about, you know, how people are and how I might want to be.
So,
as I grow.
Say this word for me. Can you say the word for me? Say the word human.
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 Now, when say the word human.
Human.
You know what I love about you, Wynn? You can't say that word to save your life, can you?
Human.
That's the first time I've actually heard you say it.
Human.
He always says human, like without the H. And
I'm
you know
Philadelphia. Say water.
Water.
Say gas.
Water.
Say gas.
But it's definitely Don.
Yeah.
I hope we don't get bunches of emails telling us how much they love this show because we'll have to change our format.
Or hated it.
Huh?
They're probably going to say, you know what? I'm never going to go. I'm never listening to the Dr. Len Horowitz Radio Hour again. You know, that Len Horowitz, he sure does do a terrible, they'll be saying, that Len Horowitz, he's terrible. And folks, believe me, none of us here are Len Horowitz. His show's absolutely fantastic. We're just a couple guys, three guys.
Shooting the breeze. Now, you and I have a show, and we've had some really incredible guests on.
We have.
Really incredible guests. And, I'm just giving a pitch so the people that happen to keep listening will keep tuned in at 6 so that they'll realize that our format's going to change at 6 o'clock. Because I didn't want to disappoint the people that are our regular listeners and start in our format. But,
we'll even cut this off in about 5 minutes so that the audience can listen to about 10 minutes of your songs.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I mean? And because it'll put them in the mood. Your songs do that. You know, they put you in that mood. And then they'll be ready for us.
Okay. Talk me into it. And my, anyone that listens to the music, no one ever buys my music. Maybe they will one day. But if they suddenly feel moved to do it, go to winmusic.net. It's up on CD, baby. And actually, these are songs I wrote some time ago that I re-recorded recently, and they seem to still be relevant to the kinds of things human beings go through.
And Don, I grew up listening to his music, so look at me.
And look at Dan.
Yeah. Look what happened to me.
He's a product of someone listening to my music.
Right. It's funny because as growing up, my parents always had Wynn's music, and so obviously we listen to that. When other people listen to the radio so.
I like his music.
Yeah, I do. My favorite, I like all the material, but I like Wear My Smile the best.
Well, yes, me too.
That has made an impact. So.
Yeah. You know, that song could be actually a huge, huge success if it was, you know, in a good studio. I mean, that's a great song.
Definitely.
You know? But yeah, I have a jacket that someone made for me once, a company that I had started, and some fabulous lady embroidered a jacket. It said, wear my smile on it. Believe it or not, it's on my right side of the jacket, and it's got her daughter on it, beautiful redheaded daughter, embroidered on it. So she embroidered her daughter, which was really neat, and then it said, wear my smile. It's really cool. I never told you that, Wynn, did I?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
How many years ago did you get that jacket?
Oh, I don't know, about 7, 6.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, we got another call in. Good, good. You guys were starting to bore me. PBS Radio.
Hey, this is a Howard Stern fan. What are you doing knocking Howard Stern?
We're just having a ball, Nev.
What are you guys up to? No good, you know, all those good old Howard Stern rednecks out there listening and going to church tomorrow. Why, it's a miracle. Howard Stern is on the radio, and everybody goes to church.
Is that Nevin?
You leave me here?
Yeah,
Nevin?
That's Nevin.
Nevin, are you trying to get in on the action this hour?
The other guys.
No, because I'm in the back end. Whenever I'm on the system, I can't do it.
I'm talking to Don. Can you hear Don?
Oh yeah, actually, let's try this. I might be able to pull a fast one here. Let's see.
Hey Don. Dan.
Yeah, I think we lost Don.
I think he screwed up.
But I don't think.
It's dead. The air.
Talking to.
Are you listening on your internet?
Everybody's on now.
Everybody's on. This is the Emperor of the Universe talking. So how come you're knocking my main man, Howard Stern?
Well, we were knocking you. So what the heck?
Wait a minute. I'm the Emperor of the Universe. If you knock Howard Stern, one of my kinfolk, you're knocking me, right?
I didn't knock him. It was Don knocking.
Hey, Don, he doesn't know who he's talking to.
That's right.
Wynn, this is Nevin.
The other day.
Wynn, this is Nevin.
I know it is.
Oh, you guys were having too damn much fun, and I decided I had to join in.
You mean somebody who's actually listening to us?
Yeah, me and one other person. Howard Stern. Howard, you know what? Howard Stern is probably listening to this, laughing. He's laughing all the way to the bank. That's where he's laughing.
Now that's a fact.
Yeah, you made it. Get it. That's a thought. There's only one reason for that show. It's called Money.
Don, I hope none of your potential investors are listening to this show.
You know, I'll tell you, with the way my system is set up and all the mess and the different voice ranges, and then I can't wait to get into the new studios, folks. Cause
are we actually on the air?
No, we're not on the air.
Oh, we're not on the air. Well, how come we're not on the air? What happened?
Well, we figured once you phoned in, you didn't want to be on the air.
On air, off air, geez, you know, for as much broadcasting as I've done, I'm always on the air.
Now, we had to take you off the air. We said, you know, Wynn just imed me, and he said, get this bum off the air.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
You know, Now that we have Nevin on the air, why doesn't he tell a little bit about his show and what he's got coming up so people can tune in?
Excuse me for a second. Don and Wynn, I gotta depart, but it's been a pleasure.
All right, Dan. It was good
Danny,
to meet you.
Thank you for helping us pass the hour.
You got it. Take care. Bye.
This is the, folks, you are listening. This is the Lynn Horowitz's Missing Show. And
this is
my name is Winfrey, and we have Don Newsom and Nevin Campanello, right?
Yes. The Emperor of the Universe. Don't forget that part.
Nevin Campanella. And
I love that.
Nevin has one of the more popular shows on Blog and Network, and he has some incredible guests. Of course, the most incredible one was me, but otherwise,
we are all so self-conscious, aren't we?
Nevin?
Yes.
Why don't you put your wife on and have her tell us about how her life has gotten better since she's been...
You know what? I don't know if I can get her on the air. When are you willing to get on the air? Gwen wants you on the air for a minute. Yeah, she's willing to get on the air. Hold on.
I'm hearing something entirely different.
Yes? Yeah, talk to Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
How are you?
Well,
thank you for getting your courage up and getting on to talk with us.
Oh. It doesn't take any courage. Nevin just says, here, talk to Wynn. So I said, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're on a new show. It's called Lenin
Horowitz.
That's
a
15-second delay.
I was listening on the earphones, and I was hearing the delay, and it sounded so much longer than 15 minutes.
Are you listening to us?
I was. Now I'm talking on the cell phone, and Nevin has the earphones on. I wasn't hearing anything until, it seemed to me like 5 minutes later. It's only 15 seconds.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
This is your first debut on the radio, right?
Pardon me?
This is your debut on the radio?
No, she's been on the radio before.
Oh, I did radio things on the second hour. I did a couple of nights.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I talked about astrology.
Oh, far out. Now, you know, Nevin says you've been getting really healthy lately.
I feel good. I've had a cold.
Yeah.
I come down with a sore throat and a cold a week before. Well, between Christmas and New Year's.
What do you think caused the change in your health?
There's a variety of things. I've had so many people thinking about me. I mean, I've got energy thrown at me from everywhere. You know, people far and wide are thinking good thoughts about me. I'm taking my medicines and stuff. And I did the PFP. Just all kinds of, I'm sure it's a combination of all of the above, what I've been ingesting and what thoughts that have been directed toward me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is so wonderful to hear that turnaround.
Well, it is, and the doctors are surprised.
You know, you and Nevin are beautiful companions.
Well, thank you.
I can feel the energy of it.
Yeah?
We did
together for a while, up and down and stuff.
Yeah. You've gotten used to each other?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're probably the only ones that would put up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else would put up with us.
Oh, wait. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
You know what it is?
I'm here.
You know what it's time for?
It's almost time for Wynn's music and the Don and Wynn show.
Isn't that 6 o'clock right now?
You know, I hear those two guys that are on the Don and Wynn show that are coming up next.
Yeah.
They're pretty good guys.
Yeah, well,
when
is anyway?
I'll hang up now and let you guys get on with your show.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you, Nevin, for being there. And,
okay. Well, we'll listen. We're listening.
So, Don?
We'll have our ears on.
Okay.
You have a good night.
Jill, you're wonderful.
Yes?
You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I know. Nevin, he's reluctant to give up the phone.
Well, Doctors Horowitz, 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 and Horowitz, you have a great time tonight. You have a wonderful show.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Ben. You all sound a little bit strange.
This
and
is the Len Horowitz missing show.
Next time, make sure you pass out invitations to the party. Well, I mean, I got the second hand. All right,
hey, Nevin.
Yeah.
Nevin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is this one of the better shows that you've heard on podcast?
This is the best show, including all of mine. This is the only way to do net radio. Yeah, I like the spontaneity. I like you guys coming on an hour early. This is great. Absolutely fantastic. This is radio at its best. Gentlemen, I'm going to go and let you, and I'm going to let you weave your way through the airwaves, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and joining us.
You both have a wonderful night.
You too.
Good night. Right. Good night. Good night.
You there?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Are we still on the radio?
We're still on the radio, just plugging away. I'm, of course, trying to speak real soft because when I come in the back end, it blows in, and I can't adjust the volume.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to shut her down, folks. You've been listening to the Len Horowitz's Missing Show, and we're going to shut her down. I'm going to play some lovely music for you, a couple of tracks, and then I'm going to get ready, suit up, and try to...
You're going to go to the bathroom, aren't you?
No, I'm going to get ready to tackle Winfrey.
I see. All right.
Okay. We will be talking to you momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Audience, to all our wonderful listeners, thank you for tuning in and stick with us. We'll be right back.
The listening audience, to this Saturday's edition of The Don and Win Show. My name is Win Free, and my co-host, Don, are you there?
I'm here. It's a pleasure to be here once again with you, Win. Thank you very much.
Don Newsom, and for those of you that was listening for the last hour to the Len Horowitz's Missing Show and are still with us to see if we're going to be crazy still, I don't know if we are or not, but we...
Well, we're crazy. The question...
But let's... You know, we probably have some listeners that haven't tuned into us before, Don, so maybe we should both talk a little bit about ourselves and just to get them in the groove.
Sure. I'm Don Newsom.
And
now you go.
That's all you're going to say?
What more is there to tell them?
All right. Well, Don is the founder of Blogging Service. And he got tired of everyone else getting all the attention, so he wanted to do a show by himself.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it. He just couldn't keep it interestingly enough. The only person that listened was his mother. And so Don heard about me, and I did a show by myself, and he wanted
and
me
the
to
only
do more.
And the only person listening to you was your auntie.
That's right. She doesn't even listen. And so we decided to do a show together. But actually, the reason I did a show is because, or the reason, even on Before the Public, is because I've kind of taken it as my personal mission to bring something forward that is really, really quite amazing.
And important.
And important.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like doing the Don and Win Show kind of helped me have a platform to do it in a really uplifted spirit and, you know, not too somber. Although it's serious. It's serious enough to be somber about. But somberness does not help get the message across. Levity does. And so we have this levitatious ambience between us that we talk about these kinds of topics. And the way this all started for me was that... about 6 years ago, I discovered the website of David Wilcock. And for those of you that are interested in checking this out, his website is divinecosmos.com. It used to be Ascension 2000. And David, when he, you know, was making a case on his website that he was the reincarnation or connected to Edgar Cayce, the famous American prophet who died in 1945. And Edgar Cayce was a huge influence in my life when I, you know, probably 25 years ago. And I looked at David's site, started reading it with a lot of incredulousness. And I came to the conclusion that he actually had to be Edgar Cayce. His story was so incredible. And at the time, I was writing for a magazine, and I interviewed David for that magazine. And, of course, anyone who's into metaphysical stuff knows who Edgar Cayce is. Edgar Cayce, there's 500 books written about Edgar Cayce. And he died in 1945, and he was the most credible psychic in the history of the Western world. He did 15,000 readings. He could tell people who they were in their past lifetimes. He could read your health problems. He could recommend alternative remedies that worked. And he's an icon amongst spiritual people, alternative medical people who still, you can buy his remedies in every health food store. And David Wilcock is got an incredible case for being the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. David was, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but you can go check out the website, caseysback.com, where I do tell a little bit of the story. And David, in 1996, started writing down his dreams, started getting messages, started getting prophecies. And then he was guided after a year to go to Virginia Beach, where the Edgar Cayce Institute is, and visited the Edgar Cayce Institute. Everyone was staring at him, and it turns out he was the spitting image of Edgar Cayce. And he went home, asked a question to his dream vice, and said, "Why do I look like Edgar Cayce?" And the answer was, "Because you are, or you were, Edgar Cayce. And if you study Edgar Cayce, you'll see all the parallels. But this lifetime, you're supposed to, if you're going to do your highest purpose, you're not going to do past life readings and health readings. You're going to explain to your planet this dimensional shift that's occurring and ascension, what Jesus meant by ascension." Well, David freaked out, and he spent the next 2 years, year and a half, studying Edgar Cayce, found out that Edgar Cayce predicted he was going to return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and maybe a liberator of the world. And, of course, David now, it's 1998, he's in Virginia Beach, and he was just told by his channeled voice that he was supposed to explain to the planet the dimensional shift and Jesus' prophecies of ascension.
And he does that well, by the way. I mean, if you go to his website and you read through some of it, he really provides a case for what's happening in the world today, mm-hmm. and why that would lead somebody to believe that the ascension process is coming quickly. And he does it really well. Science, you know, I mean, it's a lot of scientific stuff here, folks. For those people who aren't metaphysically inclined, you can go to his website and you can get right down into the science of it. And, mm-hmm. It's incredible stuff.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, the thing about the idea of ascension, Don, it's like something to say on the side, but it's not the focus. The focus is, how do you stay in the now and keep your heart open? That's the challenge.
Well, that, exactly.
Because, you know, if you start thinking about ascension, the next thought is will I make it or won't I make it?
Right. Well, it's the future. You're then living into the future, and you're not
living in the future.
Sure.
And then if you're really a scumbag, you'll say, geez, I'm never going to make it, so it must not be real.
Say that twice.
I shouldn't say that's bad enough. Say that what?
Say that twice.
I'm not going to say that twice. It was bad enough saying it once. But in any case, is it real? I don't know if it's real. I mean, nobody knows it's real until it happens. Except the only thing I would say is...
Well, I think, you know, I would have to say you either know, truly know it's real, mm-hmm. or you don't.
Well...
You know what I mean? Knowing, I think, is something that we never got into. But anyways.
Well, all I'm saying is, I know that when somebody is considering it, it's something to consider. And if it should happen to be real, the kind of information that's in my book, and not only my book, there's other people coming up with the same premise.
is going to help
now,
some,
yeah.
somebody is going to help someone understand the process that's going on our planet. Otherwise,
and within ourselves.
And within our, well, we're part of the process.
Well, that's right.
Otherwise, if you're just looking at reading the newspaper and watching TV, you don't have much choice other than to be afraid. And, you know, the bottom line is, are we really eternal? Do we continue? Do we have other lifetimes? Or is that just another belief system? I mean, you know, sometimes we look at things like, well, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu, and each one has its belief system. And so, is there a truth that goes beyond all the belief systems? Is there a way to validate that truth so that you can know it, not just on faith, which religion always relies on, but you can have validation in the world? Now, what happened to me is as I was writing the book, I was into it, and things happened in my own life that validated, further validated. Again, you can't prove anything that's going to happen that hasn't happened. So I'll say further validated the premises of the book. And that was that I had a new girlfriend that out of the blue started channeling. And for 6 months, she would say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm having conversations with a group soul, or I should say a voice that's coming through her that identified themselves as a group soul, because I can't prove it. And they said they were the Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim on the internet, and it said, God of the Old Testament, the group that was talking to Joseph Smith when he started the Mormon Church. Now, I don't know if any of that's true, but I do know my sister was going to die, and I asked them to help, and she had a medical miracle, and she didn't die. I do know that they predicted a newspaper headline in advance, 2 weeks in advance, just because I asked them, because I said, maybe my girlfriend's making this up. And I have a website up called Conversations with My Girlfriend. Now, keep in mind, this is really crazy. I'm the same guy that's writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and suddenly I have a girlfriend channeling the Elohim, or the voice that says they're the Elohim.
That's it. That's it. Hey, let's call my mother.
Why? your mother's going to call and say, Wynn's talking too much, right?
She's going to say, all right, that Wynn, he's talking too much.
All right. Well, okay, I'm going to stop. All right? I'll just, you know, the reason I was telling all this is because I feel like...
Go stand in the corner.
There's some people that were listening from the Len Horowitz's Missing show.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, you know, establish my credibility with those people, because that was a wacko show we just did.
Yeah.
And that I wanted them to, you know, I just think of, you know, some people think, you might think it's my ego or something when I talk like that.
Funny.
Tell the story. But the truth of the matter is...
Oh, it's a great story, but it takes hours.
It's not just a great story. It's something that it's very hard for the conscious mind to accept the possibility of the kind of premises that we're offering.
Yeah, well, do you remember the topic we were going to talk about today?
Yeah, I'm going to get to it in just a second. One more second. So I tell the story because I think there might be one person that's listening that will follow that up and say, man, this is the information I've been looking for. And I'm sure that's honestly why I tell it. Because, you know, we could be entertaining like we were the last hour for hours on end. And when the show's over. And people say, well, we were entertained. I'm telling you folks that want to know what's happening in the world. I'm going to stop in just a second, Don. Don's mother, okay. But want to understand it from a celestial point of view, please read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It's available at caseysback.com. You can go look at my website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and you can go to David Wilcox's website, divinecosmos.com. And this is something not to look at lightly. Study it as the future of your soul depended on it, because if the information is true, it does. Okay.
All right.
Now that that's all said, what's our topic tonight, Don?
Well, I thought you came up with a really good topic earlier.
Yeah, but I wanted your mother to think you came up with it. So,
No, actually, you came up with a really good topic. It's spiritual glamour. And the god of opinion.
And the god of opinion.
And
okay.
I think we, and you know, I think that's something that you and I both wrestle with. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially when it comes to spiritual glamour and mm-hmm. The god of opinion. And mm-hmm. they both really work in tandem.
Well, I think everyone struggles with the god of opinion. I think everyone on this planet, that is one of the issues that it's impossible not to struggle with. Spiritual glamour, not necessarily everyone. It's like people who have a message that are in the public, that have listeners, that are getting attention, that think they're really hot because people like them.
Well, for example, let's separate this out, because this is an important topic, folks, and you know, we have a lot of shows here on this program, but what I've noticed, and this is something that has been made evident in my life, and folks, I wouldn't really have known this had I not had a little bit of time in this and been speaking with others, especially Wynn, about this. But spiritual glamour, if a lot of people channel, and you're seeing more and more information coming out on the internet, coming out on the radio stations, coming out all over the place, where people are coming out of the woodwork. There's so many psychics and channelers, and they're just like they're literally a dime a dozen at this point. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that it's a good way. People are getting in touch, but often enough, people who channel these sources, which often these sources are intuitive sources, or sources that are felt, or sources that they can't verify whether they're positive or negative. And of course, these people have their own filter system, which, because the information is going into through their own thought system, thought process, through the brain, and then through that chemical synaptic response, and then coming out in an auditory fashion through their own vocabulary, the filtering system is massive. And people tend to get hooked on the advice, and not only the advice of these people that say that they're in touch with higher sources, but they get hooked on it for their everyday questions, their everyday living. And all of a sudden, you'll find these people really can't make any more choice, and their free will starts to disappear. And Wynn and I had a long chat about that during our recent engagement together. And thank you for the ring. It was beautiful. And you know, it's just, it's a topic that really we wanted to touch on, right, Wynn? Go ahead. I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, I have, since I've been involved in these kinds of communications, and I've also studied quite a bit, you know, it first happened, I didn't know whether it was positive or negative. I mean, it seemed positive, but I had enough, you know, learning about it, especially through writing the book about David, that I knew that I had to be very wary. And I learned what I think are the indications of what's a negative source and a positive source. Now, you know, when we talk about a negative source, I'm not going to say a negative source is bad, because everything is as it is. And one has to accept everything as part of all that is.
Right. It's just a vibration. It's all it is.
So negative and positive are just different sides of a coin.
That's right.
And it's up to each of us to decide how we align ourselves. Now, according to the information I've gotten, and it makes sense to me, both the negative and positive can evolve. There's a state of evolution. The way we go through all our lifetimes, and we can evolve into higher planes, and higher dimensions, and higher realities, and we reincarnate. Depending on the lessons that we learned one life, we continue this planet, then you can graduate this planet and go into higher realms. But you can go into higher realms being either negative or positive.
Well,
you don't have to be positive to go into a higher realm. And this goes to the way it's described in my book and in the Carlo Ruckert Raw channeling. That's another thing I recommend people check out is the
LLResearch.org.
Yeah, actually, yeah. She's got all her books right on her website, LLResearch.org. And she was channeling the same group soul that David is channeling. That is, if all the premises are correct, is the major group oversoul for our planet.
And just so you know, folks, you can, and this is important, I'm sorry to interject, Wynn, but LLResearch.org, and that's LL. The reason I say to go to that website is because the material of the Law of One books is all there, and it's free right now. Mm-hmm. And normally you'd have to pay for these books, and it's free. If you go in there and you do a little searching on the publications, you can right-click, save as, and get that material downloaded to your website, and then start reading through it. It'll change your life. If you haven't read it, and you're at a certain vibration, it's going to, even if you're not, it's going to touch you in ways you never dreamt of. So I encourage you, while it's still free,
get it. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you an example of how you are violating free will right now.
Okay.
Okay.
The God of opinion.
I'm just going to show you, because the way you phrased it, and this is how subtle this is.
But will change your life, didn't I?
That's right.
Yes.
It could change your life.
Correct.
You see, when you say will change your life, you program somebody to be obligated to believe it.
That's true.
If they don't get it, they're going to come back and say, maybe there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something wrong with Don.
Yeah.
And you know, something else is sometimes.
And very good point.
These things have to be incubated on.
Mm-hmm.
Things that change a person's reaction. I've been watching how this works because, you know, I'm presenting a cosmology that will, it's not something to learn in your mind. It will change your reality system.
Will?
Potentially.
Potentially.
Pardon me?
Notice, folks, how he tacked on that word, potentially.
Well, I discipline myself to watch my language very carefully, okay? Because these are the ways that we are subliminally programmed by television, by radio, you know?
That's right.
Buy this product and you will
instantly turn into a beautiful woman on the beach.
That's right. Buy this product and men will be loving you and get this course and you will get rich.
That's right. I mean, look at the beer commercials. Heck, even the toothpick commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's surprising. Everything is about the outward appearance.
But subliminally, we are being programmed subliminally to believe all of it.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Even when you don't make the conscious decision, it's subliminal programming that starts taking over your unconscious. So,
well, when you talk about the God of opinion,
yeah,
and spiritual glamour, really spiritual glamour is about people like I was mentioning earlier, people that end up making a good living on this, and they get up in the limelight, and it becomes a focus for them. Now, all of a sudden, they're needed. They believe they're necessary, and they buy into it to such a degree that it becomes quite glamorous for them. And
well,
really,
you know, as I see it, they may be needed, okay?
Right.
And
I'm not saying they're not. What I'm just saying is.
And they may be offering something of great value.
That's correct.
But what I'm talking about
is the people that when it gets to be an addictive situation, or it gets to be where these people are really telling you your choices, making statements, telling you what to do, how to think, what's going to happen, where to go, what'll happen in your future, what happened in your past, and everything else, it becomes then you get so out of the now and so dependent on this, and often enough these people are maybe coming from the best place in their heart. and many of them are. But it when you look at it, you start to realize that this can lead to poor decisions for your own life. And in the end, it might cause more destructive behavior than positive behavior. And really, when it comes down to the God of opinion, and I love that expression. Why don't you go into that? Because I love the way you explain that. I mean,
but I forget what I said. But I'll try it again. You think I can be brilliant twice in a row?
I'm glad I got a big coffee here.
You know, I say really brilliant things so often, I don't even know when the next thing is going to happen. And, you know, it's like I sit here waiting for the next brilliant thing that's going to come out of my mouth. I mean, how many people out there walk around believing that they got two group souls looking over their shoulder? They go home and they talk to God through their girlfriend and they save people's lives. I mean, what a great person I am to be doing all that.
Well, there you go. See?
Right?
Right.
And so, and people must really love me. I'm sure you guys are, you know, God. I mean, I'd want to know a guy that was doing all that, right? It's like...
And then here I am going around saying, I know a guy like that.
That's right. You're a lucky man.
That's right.
You're my co-host. And so, that's an example of spiritual glamour, right?
Exactly.
There it is. I did it.
Perfectly.
Perfectly, right. And I want you guys to know, in the audience, to know that you're really lucky to be listening in tonight. Okay? And hearing such wisdom coming from my mouth. Now, a lot of people wouldn't say that so openly. They think it all the time. They just, you know, look good on stage, and then they go home thinking, boy, I'm really something.
That's right.
You know, when you talk about the God of opinion, this is a really subtle one. It's a really subtle one. Because... everyone is influenced by it. And it's not an easy one to get out of. And the first step is starting to pay attention to how you're actually influenced by the God of opinion. All right? Let's put it this way. When you grew up, you had your parents telling you all your life what was lovable about you and what would make them happy. And when you're out on your own, I used to do this. I would meet a woman, and I'd consider her as a girlfriend, and I would think, geez, my father would really like this girl. And suddenly...
That's what you would think?
At one point in my life, when I was younger, you know?
You're setting up your father.
Or my friends would all think I was really hot if I had this beautiful woman next to me. So I really, you know, how many guys are like that?
And it works, though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it works.
The problem is, it works, but now you've developed a relationship that's supposed to be a love relationship, and your criteria is, damn, people would think I'm really something if I have this woman. Is it really love? It could be. I mean, it's okay if it is, but probably a lot of times it isn't. It's not love. It's a relationship. It has, it could turn into love. Love is compassion and caring. And
openness.
And openness. Mm-hmm. Now, if you happen to have a beautiful woman and everyone thinks you're hot, I shouldn't say hot shit, should I? But we can say that on radio. If everyone thinks you're hot shit because you have a beautiful woman, well, it's okay. But that's not the reason to have
a relationship. I forgot. Let me see. Oh, there we go. We bleeped it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
But, we might have bleeped it late, but you know, we can always say we tried.
I mean, how many voices are in your mind all the time thinking about
25? 25.
who would like you and how much they would like you if you did a certain thing. Whether your friends, you know, when you chat and have confidential talks with people and they're your confidants and they give their opinions and then their opinion's in your mind and then you go around the next day and you think, oh, well, they would really like it if this and that and the other thing. And so, you know, you've got this whole matrix of voices in your mind.
25 of them, 25.
And you're worshiping the God of opinion.
And
now, you know what? If you and I were worshiping the God of opinion, at least too much, it's not to say that we don't need appreciation, because we do. And it's nice to have acknowledgement. That's great.
That's true.
The problem is when you get attached to it.
Well, and you even get attached to your own opinions. It's the same thing. The God of opinion is when you go around your life building through all these environmental and conditioned events, you start to form your own opinions and leading into your own personality. And mm-hmm. really, that's just your ego. And it really isn't who you mm-hmm. are. And
right.
it comes down to worshiping the God of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really never, and a lot of people, in fact, I'm reading a book now, The Power of Now, and I'm almost done with it. I wish I'd read it a long time ago. But
that's almost as good as my book.
Yeah, well, fabulous book.
I know.
And when you think about the God of it, when you stop living and glorifying the God of opinion, you really actually start moving into the now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I just simplified it quite a bit because it takes a little bit more than stopping to worship the God of opinion. But really, it comes down to that. This whole facade that we've built up in our lives, this personality, is really worshiping that God of opinion. And we see it, you know, the media and our governments and all these experts and masters. You know, they're constantly getting us to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And they lead us around like sheep. They say, oh, girls, if you get this great body, you'll be worthy. Guys, if you, you know, get these great muscles and join our gym, you'll suddenly have girls. And really, the criteria by which we evaluate ourselves and others is all programmed in. And what does that do? It keeps us, really what we're talking about, in this show, is to be able to expand your own space into what we call the interdimensional world, i.e. that you exist as a energy body that's in a physical body. And the energy body, truthfully, is as big as the entire universe, potentially. And we have this veil that keeps us from perceiving that. And we have this physical body that only has senses to perceive the physical world. So when you start talking about this energy body, people say, is that really true? Does that really exist?
Yeah.
And then we have, as we've been talking about, people who bring through messages from beings and entities and group souls that are actually, you know, they're not separate from us. They're one with us.
That's right.
One with our energy bodies. We can expand our energy bodies and get confirmation that that, in fact, is real and that those places are real. When you got a voice coming through you or your girlfriend or whatever, and they suddenly say, they make a prediction that comes true, or they heal somebody's life in a miracle. You got to like step back and say, whoa, this is really happening. They are real. They're there. And then the challenge is not to tell you that they're real and they're there and please believe in me or believe in them. The challenge is for you to be able to make your own connection with those higher dimensions as a daily reality.
Well, I think it's a challenge then at that point to, one, take that information and see how it fits or resonates with you and leave the rest of the garbage alone. And when it comes to allowing others to take away your own thought process or your own free will choices, as soon as you give those up, it starts to erode the ongoing unfoldment of your spiritual progress, because really, in the end, you are giving it up. You're giving up your choices. And it's kind of like comparing yourself. You know how a lot of people, they always compare themselves? Like, I'm skinny, this guy's big, so I'm not worthy. And this guy's got muscles, I don't. Or this lady has a beautiful chest, I certainly don't. You know, when you start comparing yourself to others, wishing you were this person, wishing you were that, or I need more money, or I need to be rich, or I can't live like this because I don't have what my neighbors have, you really start to give up your choices. And really, I think it comes down to, instead of comparing yourself to everything you see, you start to look inside and find out who you are, and then progress along a lines where you compare who you are now, maybe. Are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, I heard a click. Like taking who you are now and saying, you know, it's not who I was, but look at how far I've come. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
yep.
you're making progress, and it, without that, how do you say it? Without that component.
I would say, if you want to simplify all that.
Yeah, it's hard for me to, it's hard for me to even verbalize that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what you're saying, and I'll try to simplify it. And that is, you know, there's two aspects to expanding your consciousness or expanding your connection with your higher energy field. The first aspect is to start processing all the things that keep you in a lower matrix. And the way you process them is to start observing them, just observing them. This is like an ancient spiritual technique. If you can observe yourself from a neutral place, for example, let's just suppose you have somebody's voice inside you, like your father, that said, when this is what would please me, and when this is what will please me, or your friends that would say, I'm going to give Wynn a lot of approval if he does this or acts this way or dresses this way. Well, start paying attention to those voices and say, okay, there's that voice that, be honest with yourself and say, there is that voice that is whispering in my subconscious telling me that I need to do this to get approval. Okay? And that's the God of opinion. And in which case, by constantly doing that, you will wear it down like sandpaper, because the part of you that's observing it has to detach yourself from being controlled by it in that moment.
That's right. Well, that you can even break it down into simpler terms. And before, you know, as soon as you start doing things to find out your habit patterns, you just say, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why exactly am I doing this?
I mean,
Who am I? You know, and by the way, folks, that's a great question to ask yourself every time you start observing yourself. You ask, why am I doing this and who am I? And it starts to build. And if you keep doing that, remember, repetition's great in these, in the metaphysical, because they start to become automatic. And the more you would stop, look, listen. You know that old thing in high school that you learned or in grade school, stop, look, and listen. It's the same thing here. Stop. Say, why am I doing this? And who am I? And at that point, your entire subconscious may unfold a bit, and the process starts to you start to realize that those thought patterns in your mind may not belong to you at all.
Yeah. You know, a good exercise, if people are listening and saying, you know what, he sounds like he's talking about me. If some people, this is really relevant too, and some people it isn't. If it sounds like this is something that affects you, you know, when the show's over, take a piece of paper and write down every single voice in your mind that you can come up with and whose opinion you're trying to Wynn, and be really honest with yourself and just write them down. Because just doing that
you can change your future. And then, because now, when those things come up in the future, you say, oh, that's me trying to get opinion. Or, oh, that's me doing this, you know?
Or that's just noise in my mind.
Just noise in my mind, and let's move on, you know? And then the other thing is judgments, finding things that are wrong in other people. Judgments is really a whole other topic, but...
Well, it's really the same one. I mean, as soon as you're going out and some beautiful person cuts in front of you, and you get really angry at that moment, mm-hmm. and then you wonder, you stop, and you say, why am I angry?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the person, is it because they're beautiful and they cut me off, and you're mad at all beautiful people because they always get their way in life? Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? So,
yep.
So it's a focus.
Yeah. And then, one of the things that happens for people is they think, well, if I take all this stuff away, what will be there? And they're afraid that nothing will be there, and that's not true. Because when you take it all away, when you truly take it away, and you become perhaps empty, is exactly the moment you start expanding into interdimensional awareness.
Great
because
point.
Now there's space for you to expand. All these other things are like fences that keep you from expanding. They're fences in your energy space, and you can't get through them. And when you start letting them go, you will start to expand interdimensionally.
That's right.
And you will start to get the direct experience, not the idea of the experience that we're part of each other and that everything is one. And interdimensionally, our energy fields all coalesce and combine, and we become the collective of the planet Earth, and we're all connected. You know, going to that is not the experience where suddenly you feel like this huge, big thing. It just means as you go through your life and something presents itself, you say, that's part of me. I recognize that. I recognize who I am in that person or in that tree. And the way you can tell that's happening is because your heart opens up. Your heart opens up in that recognition, in that oneness. It's not just a thought. And your energy flows into that thing and comes back to you. And before you know it, you're creating a higher matrix of energy wherever you go.
That's right.
And I
love the way you put that.
Yeah. Do you know what happened this morning to me? I was with Terry, and we were at a restaurant and having breakfast.
Right.
And this waitress came up who was just so beautiful, not beautiful physically, just radiant. And you know, she was 21 years old, and I looked at her, and I said, you are an indigo child. And she said, what's an indigo child? And then I said, you know what? I'll bet you that you teach your parents a lot of stuff and that you know things that your parents don't know. And they look to you for love and support. And she just gasped. And she said, that's right. How did you know that? And I said, you're an indigo child. What's an indigo child? Well, and then I started telling her about this dimensional shift in the 75,000-year cycle and about how all these evolved beings from the other side volunteered to take incarnations here. And she was just lighting up. Her bells and whistles were going off. And she says, wow, somebody's finally told me what's going on. And by the time we were finished, of course, she bought my book, and she's going to give it to her mother. And it's like... the reason that happened is because I've got my own sensitivities neutral in such a way that when somebody comes up to me, I can just feel the energy. And I can feel the energy and relate to them in a very unique and specific way as a product of the moment that I'm in and not with any preconceived notion. And I seem to get it right a lot because I'm doing that. And that's kind of the quality of living in oneness, being able to be in the moment, being neutral, and responding to the moment and the person as a very unique moment of creation, with no preconceptions, with no judgments. It's and at which point you will feel the moment. You will feel it on an intuitive level, and you will get the right information flowing into you about how to deal with that moment. Now, it's a lot easier said than done. I've spent years of my life not, you know, in suffering and pain. I've gone through a lot of stuff to be able to have that kind of perceptivity. But, you know, now I want to explain how I came to it, because I know it's what people are longing for. I know that people have these deep anguishes and deep pains and belief patterns and ways they've been brought up and the way television says it is. And all of those things are things that keep you out of the moment.
That's right.
Keep you out of the here and now and the direct experience of the here and now. So each one has to be stripped away and released till that energy comes in.
Really what it comes down to is you're really trying to overcome the habits of your personality or of your ego. And
well, you know, Don, I got to correct you. When you say trying to overcome, I would rather say what it comes down to is you're observe. If you can just not overcome, but observe the habits. Because people think they can't do it.
Yeah, but when I mean overcome, I mean basically to obviously observe and take note of them, but to let them go, to release them, to overcome them. And
you can't release them out of your conscious mind.
It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
You can observe them with your conscious mind, and they will release by themselves as a natural byproduct of being observed. Okay?
In most cases, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it is. I mean, it's like a lot of times people see their patterns and they start judging themselves because they say, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to feel that. I feel hurt. I feel jealous. I feel hateful.
Well, when you understand those feelings and emotions and triggers, you can start to, as you become more and more observant, you can stop putting yourself in situations or pull those triggers, or you can, like, let's say you know that your wife, every time he or your husband, every time he chews his toenails in front of the TV, you know, that really picks him. And you know, if you know that that's a trigger, then you, at that point, what do you do? No, really.
Well, you know what you do? You say,
I sit watching my husband chew his toenails in front of the TV.
Here I am being triggered by watching my husband chew his toenails, and I know it irritates me. I feel a sense of irritation, and I'm judging him, and I'm thinking he's a slovenly pig, you know, and his feet smell.
And his feet smell.
But I'm not going to judge him. I'll observe my judgment.
And,
you know,
and folks, at that point, you just really want to just spend some time observing.
Yeah, just observe it. And you know what? You know, don't judge yourself for judging him either. Just say, I forgive myself for, you know.
I forgive, and always come back to the point, I forgive myself for what he's doing to his toes right now.
So this becomes like a
I'm joking.
You know what? If you start adopting this day in and day out, and this idea of observing yourself and observing everything, you'll really go on a fast track.
You do.
Fast track of working through your stuff. But, you know, when you say the word try, I just have to, you know, correct that from my perspective, because I don't think trying works. Observing works, and observing is something you can accomplish.
I think, remember, I often put the word try and intent in the same. You know,
well,
if it's your intention to jump into this and become that watcher and detach yourself from it, of course, I think obviously a lot of these things start to come up and you can start to work on them.
Now, intent is quite a bit different than try. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, don't you think so?
I guess, you know, intent can mean a lot more, yes, in some cases, yeah. Certainly.
Well, say, for example...
But if you're going to pick apart my grammar...
Well, you know, the way you...
I'm going to come over there and club you in the head.
But the way you phrase things programs your subconscious. And so I don't mean to,
it's,
to take it...
It's words, Roxanne.
Yeah.
Words.
I'm not taking apart your grammar to, you know, make you wrong. There's this quality. There's ways that we phrase things where we program.
So what would you do if you're a roommate right now, like to sit in front of the TV and release gas while you were there?
I go to Starbucks, which I usually do. And I say, okay, I don't want to sit around this gas.
So you've had experience.
Well, not with that particular circumstance, but if I'm in an environment where something's happening that disturbs me, okay, or is upsetting to me, I'll just quickly leave the environment, you know?
And what if that's your wife or your husband, and it's hard for you to move, to go beyond something that really, really picks on you. What do you do? Like, let's say your wife doesn't want to have sex with you and she hasn't had sex with you for 3 months. And
I would say, honey, if you're not going to have sex with me, I'm going to get girlfriends. Don't complain.
Don't complain.
Yeah, I got my needs and I deserve to have my needs fulfilled. And, you know, if you can't do it, I'll love you.
What I'm getting to is... There really is no reason to get at that point angry. There's no reason to.
But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If you're living with a person that doesn't satisfy your needs, you know, why should people satisfy each other's needs? Do you know why, Don?
Why should they satisfy each other's needs?
Yeah, especially a conjugal couple, married couple.
Why should they do that?
Why should they?
Well, I guess it depends on the individuals.
I
don't know if they should. It just depends on the couple, really the individual, because often enough some individuals can live together celibately as a platonic relationship, where some need that sexual relationship. I think since we're all trying to get back to the Creator, and we come here to live a dualistic life, of course, as a male or a female, we're always trying to get that... attain that oneness, and every time we're trying to go out there and search for these relationships, we're trying to find that oneness, and in physicality you're never going to get it.
Well, actually, when you experience oneness with another person in that feeling of being in love,
mm-hmm.
you are getting it.
Well, not in the physical. You see,
what you're getting trained in is how it feels to feel that. And after a while, you'll integrate the energy of how it feels, and you won't be...
But often enough, that's fleeting. You know, the feelings are very...
But every moment, even a fleeting moment of oneness, becomes a reference point on some level.
Right, but I don't think that oneness, that feeling, is really in the physical. You see what I mean?
No, the feeling is, if it's truly oneness... Well, it is in the physical because it's multidimensional. It's on all levels. I mean, if you talk about sex is all levels. It's the highest form of communication that humans can have. And it opens you up all the way from the highest cosmos right down to your physical body. You know, according to the raw material, they talk about sex in there.
They do.
Yes, and it's very interesting what they say, and I believe it's true. It's that
it's an energy conduit, and it's
actually at the moment of orgasm. This may not be for all sex, okay? There's all different kinds of levels of sex because there can be sex which is very localized to your genitals. Is this spiritual glamour we're talking about? there's sex that can be localized to your genitals. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sexuality as the highest expression possible. And that's where what happens is, and you know, the Indians call, the Hindus call this tantra. You go back and forth, back and forth. You know, you rub somebody, you touch them, you open up their energy field, they open up your energy field, and before you know it, your energy fields are all opened up. And then when you have an orgasm, the orgasm is not any more in the energy field of your body. The orgasm goes right to the center of the cosmos and back again. And suddenly, your body feels totally rejuvenated and renewed because you were in the other dimensions, and you pulled in all the dimensions right into your physical body, and it was a rebirth. Now, not everybody, I've had that experience. Not everybody has it, but it's...
And alone.
I've even had it alone. That's right. I didn't want to say that, but, you know, it's like, but with another person, you learn, if you do it right, you get the reference point for that experience. You get to know how it feels. And, so what's happening is you're integrating your energy field in the masculine, feminine, and before you know it, you've got both fields. You've expanded your field into both people, and you now have learned. This is why relationships are like one of the most powerful ways of going through.
See, I don't believe any of that. I just don't buy into that. This is something we would, you and I would have to go into a whole new program about.
Okay,
but,
well.
Yeah, but see, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that there, I don't think you're going to find that oneness at all. Yes, I think you're going to have an experience. I think it's going to be fleeting, and it's going to constantly, I think, and I'm not saying anything against marriage or relationships. It's great, and it does give you those fleeting moments of oneness, which is here in the third density physical type of connection.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I think that when if that's what we're trying to search for, you become dependent on that sort of a relationship, and it lets you down. Not that, in other words, you become codependent, and you're never really trying to find out who you are and complete yourself as you are right now.
Well,
and
you
because
know what?
Really, oneness is something that cannot be dealt with in the physical. You may get a lot of fleeting moments. And
this is another show.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, that's what I was saying.
Because you know, from my perspective, you're both right and wrong. And, of course, that's the out-of-duality answer to the question, because the trick is, how do you learn to overcome your shadow? How do you learn, and I don't even know if overcome, integrate your shadow, so to speak, okay?
Well,
how
overcome was a good word because we were talking about sexuality.
Yeah, well, we'll call it integrate. How do you integrate your shadow? What's the trick you use to evolve yourself? And I say relationships. I mean, sometimes, for example, there's a lot of people that have been very, very hurt because they got into a relationship where they felt completed with the other person. And then the relationship didn't continue, and they resented the other person for leaving them. They went back to how they were before the relationship, which was hurt, and they're now blaming the relationship for their hurt at the present. But they were hurt when they started the relationship. The relationship helped heal their hurt. Now, if you did the same thing consciously, if you went into the relationship and you had that experience of feeling completed and the relationship stopped and you didn't blame the other person for leaving you and you said, okay, what's my next step? You now have a reference point for how it feels to be completed. And that reference point is something that will teach you, maybe not immediately, but over time, how to come back to that place, even without the other person there. And that's, to me, the way it works.
No, that's a good point. You make a good point. I would agree with that completely.
Because you see, if a person is, I mean, I'll use myself as an example here. When I was younger, you know, when I was growing up, I had a lot of hurt in me. But you know what? I didn't know I had hurt because that's the way it felt to be me. I didn't know I had hurt. I didn't know I was all closed down. My chakras were closed down. How could I know that? Because I didn't have a reference point of feeling otherwise. You follow what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
You know, and I see there's many people that they feel who they are is who they are, even if they're closed down, because every day of their life they felt that way.
Well, it's the same thing when it comes down to, though, again, relationships. It fits right in with our topic again of the God of opinion.
Yeah, but that's more than the God of opinion. That kind of closed downness is not just of course it's related to the God of opinion, but, you know, there's a whole other topic.
Because what makes you happy then? What about
I wanted to finish this one point before I forget it.
Okay.
Because we're talking about how to evolve.
25.
Huh?
25 voices.
Yeah, we're talking about how to evolve oneself. And we're talking about the God of opinion. And the other thing is that almost everybody has these traumatic events in their past, either this lifetime or other lifetimes. And those traumatic events create a memory of fear where the traumatic event occurred in your body.
Yeah.
And these are not easy to deal with. And this is what causes a lot of pain and walking around thinking this is what I am right now and not really knowing how to change it. Those are real challenges, and I know that I've had those.
Well, have you ever been asked by Jean-Claude Coven, you know, the author of Going Deeper? If you go to goingdeeper.org, has he ever asked you, who are you? Because when I met with him, he asked me a question. And, I mean, can you imagine sitting down next to a wonderful individual and the first thing they ask you is, who are you? What would your answer be? What would your answer be, Wynn?
What would my answer be?
Yeah, who are you?
Is this in the topic that we're talking about?
Yeah, this is a little off topic, but give me an answer. Who are you?
I am an energy field occupying a body. My energy field is part of all that is.
Yeah, but who are you? Who are you?
I am all of this. I am all of it.
Yeah, but who are you?
All of it.
All of what?
All that is me.
You're everything.
Occupying a little body called Wynn.
So if someone asked you who you are,
but
you
I wouldn't
truly
say that
at that
them.
Point, you would just say, I'm everything.
Well, it depends on who asks me. If someone asks me who you are, I'd say, I'd say, I'm a talk show host. No, I'm a musician. No.
But who's the real Wynn? Who's the real Wynn?
Who's the real Wynn?
Yeah, who are you?
Is there a correct answer to this?
I don't think there is an answer. I think, because I said, immediately I said, well, you know, I was stunned, and the first thing that popped into my mind, I said, well, I guess I would have to tell you I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would ask me again, who are you? And
well,
he kept asking, and I just didn't have an answer. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, because that really starts you on a journey there. I mean, if you've ever asked yourself, who am I really? I don't know. Does it have an answer?
Well, I mean, however a person answers it is.
I'd like to get Jean-Claude to one day tell me why he asked me that and what.
Well, let's get him on the show and we'll ask him that. And then we'll find out what the correct answer is.
Yeah.
We'll bug him for half an hour. Who are you, Jean-Claude?
Let's do that.
Who are you?
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, because that was a question that I'm still ringing with. I don't know how, I mean, I like you, I would say I am. I guess that's, you know, it's a silly question, and you can always find the answer in the question. I believe that, because if you break every question down to its simplistic form, then the answer is named for who are you, I am. And really, that's all there really is. Like you were saying, I'm everything. And so, But then when they ask you that again and again and again and again, you kind of sit there and go, who am I?
Well, I think that, you know, the way you think of who you are is also part of the way you visualize yourself. So if you can visualize yourself in the highest manner, even if you're not having that experience, you're opening yourself up.
Bingo. See, that's what I wanted you to say. That's what it, very good. See, it ties into finding out who you are at your core.
Yeah.
And
so I visualize myself as being all that is. But on a moment-to-moment level, I can say, right at this moment, I feel contracted. Right at this moment, I feel hurt. Right at this moment, I feel horny. Right,
yeah, who you are changes.
Lower nature changes according to the moment.
Exactly.
But who I really am doesn't change.
Correct.
Okay? And
very
so
good.
The more you visualize and think of yourself in your highest way, the
you
more,
get a lollipop and it's cherry.
The more you move into it, right? Huh?
I'll be over there in 5 minutes. Tastes like cherry.
Down, we're on the air. Are you talking to your kids?
No, but I love Jean-Claude because he has such good humor and such a wonderful wit.
He sent us an email about sex today. Did you see that email? Did he send it to you?
See, now I know why we're talking about this. It's that energy of the email.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you think?
I don't know. Probably put it out.
Synchronous. Well, the thing about Jean-Claude is that he's a guy who and one statement he's made to me that I found was profound. I loved it, that statement. It was, you know, life is too important to take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one guy who truly lives with freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom. I mean, I could be wrong on this, but that's just how I perceive it. He has this freedom about him.
Well, I think every single person has the potential. See, I don't put anyone on pedestals, even myself.
Well,
particularly
not
myself.
Putting him on a pedestal. It comes back to not worshiping the god of opinion, worrying about spiritual glamour.
Jean-Claude,
when you strip away that ego and that personality. You get down to really who you are, and it becomes a really fun, joyous, and quite peaceful journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you experience oneness with everything around you in the moment? Can you feel the parts of you that are invisible? Can you commune and connect with the higher energies?
I was going to ask you that question, by the way.
And the higher dimensions right now.
Can you feel those things about you that are invisible?
Every time we call in the light, there's a lot of people that listen to that, and they feel a tingling. They feel a switch in their energy. Every time we do it, we get, you know, some of the people we've gotten emails from.
We have.
And, you know, that is an example of oneness, because here we are all separated. We've been talking for an hour, and I know we've been engaging people, but in that moment when I call in the light, something happens a little bit different. Sometimes it happens in the course of the show as part of our engagement, but this is we suddenly change the intent where in this moment we are actually intending to connect interdimensionally with everyone that's listening. And the interdimensional energies, we're intending it. I intend it. And because I intend it, it happens. It happens for me, and it happens for many listeners.
Yeah.
You know, as anyone that's listening can duplicate this and realize that by your intention, you can cause this to happen. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. And, I mean, some people would say, well, I would never want to call on the light to my friends. They'll think I'm a religious fanatic.
I know. That was a hard one for me, even, Wynn, quite some time ago, to to, you know, I think my twin brother and I, as much love each other and work together and been together all of our lives,
yeah.
Sitting there doing a prayer with him was something really difficult. In fact, we only overcame that for the first time since we've been adults, which has only been a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
We actually called in the light together. That was when I last told you. And it was very liberating.
You know what? It takes you out of the moment. It takes you out of the judgment. It takes you out of the God of opinion. And because your intention goes to another level. And you don't even have to believe it's going to work. Just try it and say, okay, if it works, I'm open to having some kind of experience without believing it. And just intending it. Intending it to say, I'm open to the experience. And then see if you notice something. Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work because it's me. It works because of my intention.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that it's a duplicatable process. If someone has the strong enough intention, they will experience it. And what it is we're actually communing on the other side when we do that. Our soul energies are momentarily coming together. And what happens on the physical realm is, you have some kind of experience. So, you know, it's going to be different for every person, but maybe it's a tingling in our body. Maybe it's goosebumps. Maybe you'll feel your chakras opening up. You'll feel energies running in parts of your body that you didn't feel them before. And you say, this is real. How's that happening? And be open to the idea that it's happening because we are actually momentarily communing on the other side and in our energy fields in that moment.
We really are. Well, I don't even know. See, and that's another thing that I always find a little bit of contention with, the other side. We always talk about the veil, the other side, spirituality, as if it's something that's elusive, that it's on the other side. It's over there. It's never here. It's always over there, somewhere out there.
Well, there is a veil that we don't perceive it. Right. Like I said at the beginning of the show, our senses don't perceive it directly.
Right.
We can't perceive it directly. We don't have the sensory apparatus on this plane to
perceive it. But it's here. It's here right now.
You can perceive it indirectly. And you know.
Well, there are people that actually can see that veil, and you know.
I'm not sure, actually. If they just don't have a very highly developed translation mechanism, okay? I'm not sure how those people, you know, people that seem, you know, for example, when you channel,
right?
People channel, they think it's themselves talking, and they just realize, oh, but that couldn't be me. I'm getting information that I couldn't think of, okay?
Yes, that's correct.
So it's like developing a more highly developed translation apparatus to the point where it validates itself to you. That's what I see. It's not that it's here. Well, it is here, but it's not here on a sensory level.
It's not here
in your intuitions. It's here in your feeling your joy.
That's right.
Feeling your heart. But,
well, it's here in the energy. See, everything.
In the energy.
In the energy.
And everyone is going to have a different process on how they experience it. But somehow, when the experience really happens, we know it happens. You know it happens. I mean, you know, we call in the light, and there's this wonderful quietness. Like, you ever notice on Christmas Day how everything is so, the vibes change on Christmas Day?
Oh, yeah.
Because people are not all thinking this and that and the other thing. They're making attempts to be slightly more nice to each other. They're not working.
I wish Christmas was every day. You know, I have.
It is every day. It's just that holiday is one day.
Well, you know what I would like to do one day if we're in the Wind Coffee Shop? On the folks, by the way, if you don't know about the Wind Coffee Shop, there is space available.
I don't even know about the Wind.
Advanced
coffee
reservations
shop.
Are necessary. The Wind and Dawn Coffee Shop.
The Wind and Dawn Coffee Shop. What is
oh
that?
No, I'm sorry. You're right. That's why you're getting a little confused. The Dawn and Wind Coffee Shop.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah. And that And that particular coffee shop, folks, is an investment that Wynn and I have. And we've invested in this particular piece of property. And we're actually going to be greeting you there, aren't we, Wynn?
Well, I think what you're trying to say, get me if I'm wrong, but this is what I think you're saying, is I think that we are developing an energy field between us that we're inviting other people into, and that's part of the show. And
that's correct.
And it keeps, you know, every time we do the show and, every, you know, as we get to know each other.
That's right.
We get validation that it's a real space.
And not
just imaginary.
Sure. And when people pass over, or when they attain their, you know, go through the ascension process or pass over, then, of course, it's going to be much more real than it is right now, but mm-hmm. to them.
Now, do you know that for sure?
Well, I would, you know, from good point. Do I know that for sure right now? No, I don't have recall of my.
It's that kind of statement. Now let me just point this out because I like to look at details. It's that kind of statement that can make people think that we know more than they do.
That's true. That's true. Which we definitely don't.
I'm as dumb as everybody, and that we're.
Well, that's not true. An IQ of 41 is not bad.
Thank you, Don. But no one knows for sure.
Thank you, Don.
But we can put together the evidence to say that it's probably so. Okay?
Yeah.
And that way, you see, that way, I never have to be on a pedestal of knowing things. Because I don't know anything. I'm a dummy like everyone else. And, I mean, okay, I talk and I don't even know what the hell I'm saying. I don't know.
You're definitely different.
I'm different, right?
Yeah, I would say if you're going to be accurate, I'd say I'm a dummy unlike anyone else.
Right, I'm a dummy unlike anyone else. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I'm a dummy unlike anyone else. And
that's a little more emphasis on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but when we do these shows, I don't have anything to prove. I don't have anything to teach people. I don't, you know. We just do the shows and the words come out of me, so I try to be out of the way so that we can experience the moment and the flow.
Yeah.
And when we do, we
I try to get out of the way so I can talk more.
That's right. And you try to be here so that your mother can say, "I'm so proud of that."
That's
you know,
right. That's right.
Such a nice guy, and he's doing such
wonderful. He's doing
wonderful
so wonderful.
Work, you know?
I'm so proud of my boy.
Yeah. And then by doing all this, we can kind of not take ourselves too seriously.
That's right.
And by not taking ourselves too seriously.
Well, my brother doesn't take me seriously at all. This is another brother, my half-brother.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm actually communicating with demons and that I'm a total basket.
Well, you know what? He's welcome to his opinion.
He is.
You know, but if you happen to be a conventional Christian, and you look at the query of Jesus, he said, "By your fruits ye shall be known."
He actually is a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
But he actually believes that all everything, blog and service and the whole bit's just demon oriented and I don't know how to get around it. And I don't even care to.
Well, you know, when somebody comes
I just tell them usually I have a message for you from the other side.
Yeah, right. And that will probably really make them love you. Well, when people come from a strong religious doctrine, then they have the opinion of that doctrine. They got to put everything inside that doctrine and evaluate it. And they can't truly live in the moment. They can't truly.
Well, they believe, again, spiritual glamour. There's only so many of them, and they're all key in this 144,000 of them. And then, of course, it comes to the God of opinion once again. And really, that's really how this whole circus starts.
Right. And so everyone is welcome to whatever works for them at whatever level they're experiencing it.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment about it all. It's just that they want to judge what we're doing based on their perspective. There's no judgment about that. Then judge us and go somewhere else. That's all. You know,
but you always find most of those people that are judging would rather not go somewhere else.
No,
they just want to sit there and just keep it going, don't they?
Yeah.
Gotta love those people. I love them.
then let them keep watching. You know, that's their. You know what? On this level, nobody knows what's going on when you die. It's all speculation.
I love you, Wynn. You know, folks. I'm going to cut him off because I just wanted to tell him that again. I love you, Wynn. You know, I truly do. I had the opportunity to meet you in California here recently after doing a show with you for months. Mm-hmm. And I felt so connected to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you, Wynn, you're just one heck of a guy. Really, I mean, I don't want to inflate, you know, your ego or anything. I mean that in a really genuine way, and I really feel connected to you.
I hope I keep winning your approval. God, it's so nice to be loved, huh?
It is.
Jeez, to at least one person in the world thinks I'm something special, right?
That's right.
I hope I can keep it up.
Well, you know, if you don't, then I'll just think less of you.
That's right. Well, it's 7:30. We've done 2.5 hours. We've done the Lenny Horowitz
is missing
show.
That's right.
And now we know we can do that again.
We can do that again.
If he ever gets off the roster, we'll come on and we'll do the Lenny Horowitz is missing show for the first hour and the Don and Wynn show for the second hour.
That's right. Or second, third hour. Mm-hmm. Whatever floats our boat.
Right.
Whatever gets us horny.
And So I think we've probably bored everyone stiff tonight.
You know, we've actually, to be honest with you, and folks, I wish I could monitor how much traffic we have. All I can monitor is one of the links, and I don't really know how many people are piggybacking our links or AM stations are picking us up. And one day I'll get to the bottom of it. But we do get them, and they are emailing, and they do tell us that they're picking us up or they're grabbing our live links in various countries. So I really don't know how many people are listening to us right now. But what I can monitor, mm-hmm. I can tell you that it's steadily our audience has increased, and we're at peak now. And we're at peak. I'm peaked. Well,
listen, I
25 voices in my head.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's just, I guess we'll just keep doing what we do, and whatever happens, happens, right?
That's right.
The key here is,
I love our audience, you know, because so many of them.
The key is to love your audience, but not be attached to them liking you. Because as soon as you're attached to them liking you, you're now worshiping the god of opinion.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So, you know, when I used to perform in coffee shops, I learned this really well. It was an amazing experience.
You used to be a juggler, right?
I used to play music.
Oh, that's right.
And, I would get up and sometimes nobody would be listening to me. And then suddenly everyone would be listening to me. There was a moment where I could feel the energy and I had everyone's attention. And every time that would happen, I would blow it. I would lose the energy and I would, get self-conscious. Said, oh my God, they're listening now. Oh my God! If I say something wrong, everyone's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how do I do this more perfectly? And I would get very self-conscious.
You do.
And then I would get nervous, and I would blow the energy, and they would stop listening to me. And then I would, you know, get it again, and then they'd stop. You know, then they'd stop. And you know, what we're doing is our show, and I mean, I guess I've learned not to be self-conscious, and just to keep the flow going. As you know, when we're around each other, we always get a flow going.
That's right.
And that's what life is. It's getting a flow going in the moment all the time.
All the time.
And you know, when you first get that flow and suddenly somebody's paying attention to you, to just stay detached and neutral so that you can keep the flow. So, Don, shall we close off and call in the light?
I would love it.
Yeah, let me just invite everybody once more, before we do that, that I hope you really check out the conference call I'm doing on Monday and Tuesdays.
And the purpose of this conference.
Tell them the time and, yeah.
Well, email me at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Well, don't email them at 6 p.m. Standard Time. That's the wrong email address.
No, Lynn at Login Service. And you know, the world here, I just want to say the mission of this conference call. And the world is changing, and there's a lot of negative things happening. And it's very important to build spiritual community, people that are coming together for a higher purpose right now, before things all break down. And I hope they don't break down. I don't know they're going to break down, but there's a lot of forces and voices and channel of material that says that's going to be
a lot of prophecy and a lot of
over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, when things are broken down and you're desperate, it's really hard to reach out. Have you ever noticed when you're feeling empty, when you're feeling broke? I do, because I feel that way a lot, even now. Sometimes I go into that space where it's hard to reach out.
Yeah.
And
you contract.
You contract.
Yeah.
And the idea is to build spiritual community now, to build relationships that are not based on neediness and emptiness, but relationships that are based on a higher purpose and invoking the higher forces, and where there's joy and trust and
it's key.
Now, in which case, you have a foundation to go on in the future. You have people you can count on and turn to. People that don't judge you for your shadow side, and people that help you get through your shadow side. And the reason I'm doing the conference calls is to throw my chip out there that this is something that will help do that. And thus far, you know, it's just been a handful of people checking in every week, but the people that have been checking in every week have gone through changes. And it's not me, there's this energy of it's the intent. There's a support system, there's changes, and they're really beautiful people. And if they're listening tonight, I thank them for being part of the foundation of this idea. And I know there's Karen in Ohio, there's Wayne in South Carolina, and, you know, we do
Gerard in the Netherlands, Nevin.
Well, no, but not on the conference calls. I'm telling the two people that are, you know, the people that are checking into the conference calls. And that we are holding the spiritual, it's a different energy. It's different. And you know why it's different, Don?
Because
you're not there.
There you go.
I do it all myself. But, you know, if you should come in yourself and then you can be there too.
I would love to, but I always have a live show during that time. Unfortunately, you picked an hour that is probably one of the few hours that I can't make it.
Yeah. Now, a lot of times people are thinking, well, maybe I should do that, but then they think, God, I feel so crappy tonight. I don't want anyone to hear it. Like, for example, you know, sometimes when your energy is low and your voice starts sounding like this, and hi, my name is Wynn, and you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
People don't want to be seen when they're like that. And it's okay. It's okay to feel that way. And it's okay, you won't be judged. And I would predict if you check in my conference calls for a few weeks, you'll start shifting. It's very subtle because there's an energy working with me and you, and it's these interdimensional forces that just by checking in, it starts a process. It's like you don't have to be all great to check in. You can be how you are and just be open to the potentials and see what happens. And, you know, if it doesn't work, don't expect it all to happen the first call. But I would bet you that anyone that checks in for 3 or 4 weeks in a row just might notice something shift in themselves.
It's a free forum, right?
Pardon me?
Where people can ask questions and...
You know what? Actually, it's not a forum. You haven't checked in yourself, so you don't know what it is. It's
been different every night, but I'm trying to develop a format that anyone can duplicate. So one thing that seems to be working really well is we read one of Carla's quo channelings.
Right.
We call in the light, and we put people's names up. Mention, this is like something that in the channeling I said, is there anything you see me adding to the conference calls that would make them better? And they said, yes. And you know what they said? They said, bring in people's names that need healing and say their name for a prayer healing as part of the conference call. So we're going to do that starting
fabulous.
This week.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm doing it on Monday, and Karen and Wayne are doing it as a team on Tuesday, but I'll check in as a visitor. And ultimately, my vision is, whether this will happen or not, is that they'll happen every night of the week, and somebody else will do them. And it's not set up for me to be the expert and answer questions. I mean, I'll do another kind of conference call, like on a Saturday or something, where I share some of the information that I have about the dimensional shift and my personal experiences, and, you know, where it's more of a dialogue. But these conference calls are
a monologue,
but when people ask questions, it's a dialogue, you know. Huh. But just training, like a training, because I have so much information about how all of this works. And, you know, when I've given talks at churches, I mean, I've talked for 4 hours and people still want to hear more, because I've had this unusual experience of having endless conversations with these forces on the other side and integrating it. So I have what I believe to be a fairly accurate picture of how it all works, validated with personal experience and miracles and, you know, all that stuff. And I also have this idea that they're paying attention to me all the time and paying attention to the people I'm talking to. So I can't prove that, but it seems to be true. So, you know, it's up to each person to come to the conclusion if that's true or not. But
they go to get information on this conference call?
Just email me at win@blogginservice.
You might want to one day put up just a little web page, which is updated every time, you know, prior to the conferences. That way you just give them a web page and bam, they can go, they can figure out the comp.
You know, the whole thing about this is I'm not ambitious for big numbers. I'm ambitious for quality of energy.
Well, I'm not talking about big numbers. I'm just talking about people having a more readily accessible way to access it instead of having.
Well, maybe I'll write something up on the conference call, and then, you know, then people can. Yeah, you're right. People can read it and come in and decide, hey, that's something I want to participate in.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, it's got its own state of evolution to it. And so, should we call on the light?
I would love that.
Okay. All right. So this is, for those of you who are listening for the first time, this is how we end the show. And it's where I have this intent to connect everyone who's listening, who wants to participate, with the interdimensional energies that I have experienced.
And bring your energies into this, folks. Try to really be a part of this. We'd really like you to.
Well, Don, there you go, using try. I would say, just be neutral.
Troll.
Just be neutral. Don't try. Just be neutral. Just clear your mind.
Did I say try again, folks?
You did. You said try.
I did not.
You did. You said just 25, try to bring yourself.
25.
You said try to bring yourself into this.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Okay. It's probably one of the demonic forces you're really talking about. Okay? Well, you know, again, just be neutral, and some of you will experience something, and many of you will, and some of you will say, maybe I didn't experience anything, and you know, if you didn't experience anything, there's a couple of reasons why that could be true. One of them is, we're all a bunch of nitwits and have no idea what we're doing. Another is that you're one of those people that's working out, like, really traumatic energy things in your body. And you don't even know they're there, and you haven't released them. And so that's another possibility.
Multiple choice, all right.
Yeah, another, you know, many reasons.
I know the answer.
What's that?
Say.
Faith?
It's A. It's definitely A.
A? Well,
A?
It's going to be different for everybody. But the best way to approach this is be neutral.
Well,
neutral,
you know,
yourself.
You mean being neutral and trying to be a part of that energy?
Yeah.
I have to say, maybe they'd like to be a part of that energy.
Well, if you're neutral, it's like it allows the energy to come into you. It has to come into you. It can't come because you try. It comes because you can say, I'm open. If it's there, I'm open to it.
That's a whole different process.
That's what I mean by neutrality. And it's like, it's kind of like, did you ever meet somebody?
We never did discuss this, have we?
No, but did you ever, you know, you're with somebody and you're trying to make something happen, as opposed to being with them and not trying to make something happen?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of trying to make something happen. I think it's about trying to open up your heart. Yes, I think it is a matter of trying. I think it's a matter of intent.
There you go, trying again.
Yeah, trying. I love that word.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, let's put it this way. It's been my experience that you can't try to open up your heart. You can't try. It's one of those things you can intend. And there's a big difference.
Between trying and attending? Well, let's not get into that again, because that's exactly, I think of the I think the two words are the same.
Don, we could have our show 24 hours a day, couldn't we?
We could.
Between just get into this dialogue and have my nephew call up and have your mother call up.
Well, what we're going to do is for the audience out there, we want you both, the audience out there, there's your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us definitions of to intend and to try. And what the differences are.
Well, we have to look it up in the dictionary.
Well, no, okay. I mean, the dictionary to me is...
Tom?
What?
So let's go in the light and move on, okay?
Yeah, okay, let's try to call in the light.
Father, Mother, God. Now, come on.
Okay, I'm with you.
Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person listening, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources, surface to other, operating in the Christed energies, in the law of one energies. We ask for them and invite them to blend with us, to work with us. Those angelic forces that want to help us and that need to be invited by our own free will choice before that can occur. And if you think of this in a religious sense and you have images like Jesus or God, and you can use those words, instead of interdimensional sources, because on this level, it's all a blending anyway, and who knows what is what. So, but they do exist. I know they exist, and it's my hope that you can know they exist and have that as an experience, and that while we have this energy present, blending us all in the moment, and becoming one in the collective of consciousness of mankind, let it move through your body. Let it start in your head. And think of a ball of light going from your head to your neck, to your heart, to your genitals, to your feet. And allow yourself to be a grounding rod for this energy that radiates from the center of the galaxy. And allow yourself to see a column of light radiating around you. Let it radiate into your home. Let it radiate into the people you love and care for. And while this light is present, think of those people that you know, that need healing, that need love, and send it to them for the highest good. And send it to mankind for the upliftment of mankind. sit to all the beings on the other side who have passed on that I understand can feel this energy when we send it to them. Send it to your children. Send it to your boss. Send it to your negative patterns. Send it to other people's negative patterns. Send it to the people that bug the heck out of you and irritate you and that surface your shadow, and bless them for being in your life so that you can have that reflection of the things you need to work on. And send it to yourself that you can hold this energy and hold the vision of oneness in your day-to-day life and see each person as part of yourself every day. And these calling in the lights are getting longer, huh? And on that note, you have listened to another night of the Don and Wynn Show, preceded by the Len Horowitz's Missing Show. And we really thank you all for tuning in.
We do, and we hope that you have a wonderful weekend and that Dr. Len Horowitz doesn't call me up and beat us over that.
He might sue you, Don. What do you mean the Len Horowitz's Missing Show? What is it?
But, I was thinking about the word, by the way, intent and try. And I think intent does mean something quite a bit different, but I was using it in that same vein. But they are different words. And,
can I tell you what the big difference is?
You can.
I thought about it just at that moment, and I think I can tell you. And if you think about this, you'll see this.
Intent is to allow.
Listen to what I'm going to say. If you try, you can fail. If you intend, there is no failure with intent.
Ooh, wow. Very good. I like the way you put that. I'll have to sit on that for a while. I like that. Very good. In fact, that would be a good quote.
Yeah. So that's why when you say try, it implies failure.
Yeah.
When you say intent.
It implies no failure.
There's no failure.
Good.
Because an
very
intent
good.
Is something you have control of.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's very good. Very good.
Okay? So there we go. All right. So God bless you all.
God bless you, Wynn. And thank you very much again for always being my co-host and for being here tonight. And to the audience.
Thank you for being my co-host, and it was a pleasure meeting you in the flesh, and you're as good-looking as your picture, and I'm as ugly as my picture, so there we go.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I love that ring.
You love what?
Our engagement.
Our engagement, right. Well, we're not engaged because we haven't come up with our prenuptial agreement, okay? So, good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
All right. We're good.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.